Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on Saturday, June 4th, 2016. This is episode 1293. I apologize. This is a short podcast, only about an hour long today, because we had a problem with our phone system, and we're unable to take calls. So rather than me sitting here gassing for 3 hours, we went into a rerun. But you do at least get this, including, by the way, a nice conversation with Scott Wilkinson at The Show, the home entertainment show in Irvine. So that's still to come. But just apologies. We'll have a full show for you next time. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Optical Cables by Corning. Corning's incredibly durable Thunderbolt and USB 3.0 optical cables are longer, thinner, stronger, and lighter. Go to opticalcablesbycorning.com to learn more. And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to learn more. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk about computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones, virtual reality, headgear, and anything else with a chip in it. I crack myself up. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's the phone number. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, you want to talk high tech with me, that's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. Outside that area, you can call via Skype. We have a lot of listeners and viewers all over the internet, so that means all over the world. So please, don't hesitate. Love hearing from you. 1-888-827-5536. Our website, techguylabs.com. There you will find an IRC channel dedicated to this show. You can click on the link. IRC is chat. Click on the link and join in on the fun. On the fun and the games. Even though this is, obviously the toy store, right? I mean, come on. That's what we talk about is shiny toys. It is. They're kind of important. They're kind of changing the world we live in. Well, you only have to look at the presidential election. We're in the middle of this cycle right now. And, man, social media and new media has been a huge, powerful force. The internet has been amazing in changing the way the conversation happens and giving the candidates more control of their message. They don't have to get to us through the news media. So this is serious stuff. This isn't just the toy store. Although it is fun. It is fun. What do you think? I don't know. Do you use Instagram? I love Instagram. It's one of my favorite social networks, mostly because it's pictures. So it's not people yelling at you. It's just nice. It's pretty pictures, you know? They have decided to go along with everybody else now in the social media space and stop doing a chronological based feed of those pictures. You know, the way it has been, and it probably still is, at least for a little while longer, you see the most recent pictures. You follow people. I mean, you don't see everybody's pictures unless you go to the trending thing. But if you just look at your feed, it's just the most recent pictures and the people you follow. Facebook used to be like that. It hasn't been that way in a long time. They call it the algorithmic feed. Terrible name. What it means is that some sort of computer system, an algorithm, a process is deciding what you see and in what order you see it. And the theory is, well, you'll see, they want you to see stuff that's more engaging, so you'll come back. They want you to be happier. And our machine overlords know what makes us happy, so we're going to let them do it. I think a lot of people, this may come as a surprise too. I mean, one of the reasons we started using Facebook is because that's where, you know, my high school and college friends were, or my family, my cousins, my aunt, my uncle, my mom, my my son, that's what we went to see, right? And you would want to see what they had to say. Well, you know how it is with family. After a while, it's like, okay, I don't want to hear any. I don't want to, Thanksgiving every day is not. So Facebook's realizing this, started putting other stuff in there and organizing it in such a way that you would go, oh, and you would have, it would spark joy every time you went there. And you go, oh, that's nice. It's working, right? What is the current figure for time spent on Facebook? I think the average Facebook user, I'm going to have to look it up. I think it's 44 minutes a day. What? That's amazing, isn't it? Twitter looked at that. Twitter used to be, oh, just in order, things you follow in order. And they said, maybe we ought to do something. Now, I think they kind of did it right. When you go to Twitter now, if you're using the website or a Twitter client, it says, while you were away, and then shows you stuff that it thinks you're most interested in. And then you can go back to the chronological feed. Well, I guess that's what Instagram is about to do. They said, well, you know, we're enough of this. Here's how they put it. See the moments you care about first. Why does it always have to be? Is it me? Maybe I'm just a cynic. But as soon as somebody goes, oh, this is for you. This is the stuff you care about the most. I think, what are they up to? What's going on here? Yeah, they're up to no good, right? Is that just me? Maybe I'm cynical. They must be up to no good. Imagine if your email client decided not to show you the email you got today, but some favorites from months gone by. Here's an email you might particularly like from last spring. That wouldn't be good. Oh, who owns Instagram? Facebook. So really, the fact this hasn't happened sooner is kind of surprising. You know what's still in chronological order? Snapchat. You know what's bigger than Twitter? Snapchat. Snapchat now has announced they have 150 million people using it every single day. Twitter, a mere 110 million people every single day. Aw. So actually, it's 140. I'm sorry, Twitter. It's only 140 million. Boy, 140 million people a day sounds like a lot to me. Snapchat's even more. 310 million people use Twitter every month. They call them monthly active users. What's Facebook's number? Oh, north of 1.5 billion. Why is Snapchat so popular? Well, I think it's because it's people, at least I look at my son, he's 21, who loves Snapchat. I do research on my kids because they're, you know, millennials, and I look at his friends and see what they're doing. I said, what do you guys use? Snapchat. And why do they use it? Because nothing lasts. You put something on Facebook and Twitter, these kids are very aware of the fact that anything they put on the internet is going to be visible, not just to parents, but to future employers. And they love the idea that what they do on Snapchat, it's gone. Next day, it's a fresh, clean slate. They like that. Also, Beatmaster in our chat room says, it's not your parents' social network. In fact, I think Snapchat's designed so that adults can't even figure it out. Don't you think? I think they're very, very smart. Go ahead. Just download and install Snapchat and try to figure out what to do next. Most applications have onboarding process. Oh, man, they're ruining the English language, these guys, I swear. Onboarding means, you know, on getting you on board slowly, you know, and so they'll, in fact, I find it annoying. You open a new app and then you, instead of getting the app, you get these cloudy little pointers. Oh, try this, push here. This will do with some, and you can't get to the app because you got to read all these things that your little tutorial onboarding you. And then you, not Snapchat. No, it's like, here you are. You figure it out. There's no menus. Oh, you have to know to swipe and pull. For the longest time, I couldn't figure out, how do I add people? My son said, Dad, you pull it down. Oh, that's nice, sonny. Thanks for showing me. You whippersnappers and your Snapchat thing. But that's, I fully believe that's on purpose. And there's another advantage. Is these, you got to understand that startups now, they're all using psychology against us. Another advantage, I believe, is that in order to use Snapchat, these young people have to ask their friend, well, how do you do this? And you get to be the smart one, right? Oh, yeah, and you just pull it down. And there's this kind of currency of knowledge that they get to exchange. It makes them feel good about the program. Yeah, I'm an expert. I know. Yeah, oh, don't you know how to do that? You just press and hold your face, and then you'll get a puppy dog on top of it. You didn't know that? Everybody knows that. And you feel like, oh, I'm the smart one in my group. I don't think that's an accident. All right, well, this show is in chronological order, which means we will take a break, and then I will come back, and we will take some calls. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More of what you want. Untoward says we should be doing more Snapchat with Twit. I would, but I don't understand it. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 88 Ask Leo. Heather Hummon is here, our phone ranger, taking the calls. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, I would love to hear from you. 88 Ask Leo. Are you on Snapchat? I'd be very interested to hear how you use it. Are you an adult on Snapchat? Heather's like everybody else said, yeah, one of these days I have to use it. But I've used it. I don't, you know, people say, why don't you use Snapchat for the tech guy? And I see a lot of radio shows and gosh, you know, Bernie Sanders is using, has a Snapchat channel. Hillary Clinton had a Snapchat channel. There's even people, journalists, using Snapchat to cover the news. But see, I have this weird thing. You know, I know I do a radio show, and for most of you, when the radio show's over, it's over, and you don't save it. But I just have this weird thing about making something that just goes away. You know, we make podcasts and offer downloads of the radio show. I like the idea that, and the problem I have with Snapchat is you do it, and then it's gone. You're done. It's like, it's over. So, I'm less tempted to do that. Although, you know, let's see what's going on. Here's the Pan American Cup, U.S. versus Colombia, Summer X Games. These are all news, I guess, news feeds. Donuts. You know why that is. Yesterday was National Donut Day. So if I tap donuts, I want to see what the, it's just National Donut Day and there's people eating donuts. And then little, this is, I feel like this kind of just caters to the short attention span. I'm not sure I want to encourage that kind of, but that's what people want, right? That's appropriate name, Snap. Snap Chat. I guess more and more they're keeping these live. And then there's all these brands on Snapchat now, including our own iHeartRadio. So, I mean, you know. 10 times Calvin and Taylor were relationship goals. I don't even know what that... do you understand what that means?
He broke up with her recently, I think.
10 times Calvin and Harris and Taylor Swift were... I think that's word salad. I don't get it. Were relationship goals. How could a human be a relationship goal?
They used to have them, I guess.
Okay, what else? Let's see. What you need to know about Rob and Black China's new show.
Dear God, please no.
Okay. There's some guy singing 10 songs by Coldplay collaborators. You know, if you're into music, I think I kind of understand. Oh, and there's an ad. I kind of understand how like sports, like ESPN. This makes sense because ESPN is going to have a lot of clips and highlights. And that makes sense. They're, of course, honoring Muhammad Ali, as a lot of people are today. I guess that kind of makes sense. If you're into sports, what do you do when you watch, you know, Sports Center? You watch clips. And boy, there's nothing older than day old sporting news. So this makes a lot of sense for me. People Magazine, same thing. CNN. I guess that makes sense. National Geographic, though, really, this should be just like a temporary little Oh, look, red hippo sweat and other ick-worthy cures. I don't know if I... And there's, can you, it's x-ray. Can you guess what animal this is? I guess it's entertaining, right? We live in a very interesting world where things need only be successful for a moment or two. And in fact, and this is one of the reasons there's so much weird and kind of junky apps around, it's better if you don't make money. Now, that's turning conventional business wisdom on its head, right? I'll tell you why. If you make money, if you have revenue and profit, then people know what you're worth. You know, they can make up a rule. Oh, well, you're worth 5 times yearly profit or 10 times or one time, whatever. They can make up a rule and say, well, based on revenue and profits, this company is worth, you know, this much money. If you make zero... Used to be that would be, oh, this company's going down, man. It's going down. There's no hope. There's no future. They're not making any money. They're losing money. Nowadays, it's potential. It's all about potential. Uber, for instance, has never made any money. They have never made any money. They're one of the most valuable companies out there, right? Worth something like $20 billion. Because if they made money, you could say, well, they make $100 million a year, so they're worth $1 billion. They're 10 times their, or whatever. But if they don't make money, it's all potential. It's funny. It's made up. So you know what? They're worth $20 billion because I think they're going places. This is why there's so many crazy, weird, meaningless apps out there. Snapchat, I don't know if Snapchat's made money, but I would guess not. There's not a whole lot of ways you can make money with a program like that. Nevertheless, incredibly valuable. Google and Facebook and everybody's been trying to buy Snapchat. And Snapchat says, yeah, no, we're worth more than $10 billion. We're worth more than $20 billion. What? What? Amazon's a good example of this. Amazon, and really, I think Amazon is what people look at. If only we had gotten an Amazon 10 years ago, man, we'd be rich today. Because Amazon didn't make money for 10 years, for a long time. In fact, they still make very little profit because they're careful not to make too much money. They reinvest everything. What they did for 10 years was instead of taking any profits out of the company, they built distribution centers. They built towards a long-term goal. And that, everybody, you know, you can look at that and say, well, that makes sense. They're investing for the future. And Uber, I guess you could say the same thing. Uber is globally expanding like crazy. You know the new thing Uber wants to do? And some of these other ride-sharing companies are starting to do this, deliver groceries. Well, we got these guys driving around. They're not doing anything. In between passengers, why don't they go down to the Piggly Wiggly and pick up a couple of six-packs and drive them over to you? Why not? Right? They're just sitting there in their car. More efficient, right? Uber is interesting. It's a car company that doesn't own any cars. Furthermore, it's a car company that's working hard not to have any drivers. And I think this is why Uber is valued at so much money. If you have never heard of Uber, it's a kind of like a cab company. It has an app. You press a button on the app and a driver just comes to you. And the payment's all built into the app, so you don't have to give him any money and you don't have to tip him, which doesn't make the driver too happy, but... Then the reason the driver's not going to get too angry is because they have this rating system where you rate the driver and the driver rates you. And if a driver gets low ratings, they don't get work. So they're kind of coerced into not taking tips. And now they want to do it so they don't even have any drivers because they're all the vehicles drive themselves. In fact, that may be the first time you ride in a driverless vehicle. It won't be your own. It'll probably be an Uber. All right, we're the reason I'm talking so much is we're struggling a little bit with the phones. I don't know what's going on. The tech guy, I live on the bleeding edge. We're using some fancy phone system, not your regular phone system. No, we can't do that. And apparently it's broken. We'll get it working and take more of your calls right after this. Our show today brought to you by Corning. You know the name Corning, right? Sure, they're the kings of glass. Gorilla Glass, you heard of that? Corning. But what you may not have known is that Corning also does optical cables. Fiber optic cables are glass. And in the old days, your grandfather's fiber optic cables, they were fragile because they're glass. I remember when we first got our fiber optic cables here in the studio for the SAN, the engineer said, don't bend them. Don't step on them. We hang them in the ceiling so you can't. They were very fragile. Well, you know, these guys are good with glass, and Corning has made now new optical cables that are not your grandfather's optical cables. They are incredibly strong. They are flexible. And why would you want to use optical? Because they have really long cable runs. 60 meters for Thunderbolt, that's 200 feet. 50 meters for USB 3, that's 165 feet. And that's why they're used in places where you don't want noisy drives in the workspace. Now, that's just me. I have a big RAID array that I want to have connected via Thunderbolt to my computer. And for a long time, I was sitting next to my computer going... And I have a very quiet solid-state computer, but the drives are it's so noisy. So now you can put the drives literally in another room. You can put them in a closet. You can put them far away. The speed, the throughput's phenomenal, and it's quiet again. That's why Universal Audio, you know them, they use Corning cables, optical cables, to achieve acoustic isolation in their studios. When they are testing new equipment, they do not want to have any sound introduced by the drives. They have amazing, best-selling Thunderbolt audio interfaces. This is how they do it. Universal Audio. That's a pretty high testimony to this. You can bend them. You can walk on them. Even if they're tangled, no problems. They keep transmitting at high speed. I gave them a slogan. They didn't want to use it. They take a bending and they keep on sending. I want you to check them out. Optical cables by Corning. They're available at all major electronics and professional AV retailers. Apple Store sells them. Amazon sells them. B&H. But these cables, what they've done, because it's still, you know, coming out of your computer on the USB 3 or the Thunderbolt, not as light, right? It's not an optical sender. So this little thing, this is part of the invention, besides the super strong glass, this little connector, it's just like a normal size connector, takes the copper signal, converts it to light. And then that's how it works. And then this converts it back to copper. So these work with your standard USB 3 and your standard Thunderbolt ports. This is a Thunderbolt optical cable. This is a shorter one. It's only 18 feet. And look how thin it is, and light and bendable. I mean, that's the beauty of this. I love these things. Corning USB 3.0 and Thunderbolt cables. You can find out more going to opticalcablesbycorning.com. Opticalcablesbycorning.com to learn more and make sure you say, hey, I heard it on The Tech Guy. Just amazing stuff. Opticalcablesbycorning.com. And I asked Scott Wilkinson, our home theater guru, where are you? He said, I'm at the show. I said, which show? He said, the show. What show is this show? The show? What are you talking? It's an Abbott and Costello routine. Where are you?
It is. I'm at the show.
What is the? Well, now I notice it, on the sign behind you, it's an acronym, T-H-E.
Right. The Home Entertainment Show.
Ah.
And, you know, it's meant to be home entertainment, but in actual fact, it is, but it's really only two-channel audio. So it's an audiophile show. I mean, there are a few multi-channel systems here.
Wait a minute. That's pretty retro. Stereo home entertainment? You yelled at me for doing that for so long.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing how popular this still is. There are two print magazines that are flourishing that cover only two-channel audio.
Now, I mean, of course, I love stereo.
Yeah,
I love listening to music. We've had this conversation for as long as I've known you. I've been saying, hey, yeah, I'd really like to build a stereo so I can listen to music like I did as a kid,
yep,
instead of a home entertainment center.
Right.
Are they is that what they're talking about, stereo systems, or are they talking about big screen TV too?
No, they're not. Well, they could,
yeah,
and they certainly have in the past, but the show has sort of evolved into two-channel stereo sound reproduction. And
so
wow,
it's great. I love that. It's very retro.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's like 5-6 floors of nothing but two-channel stereo.
It's like getting your Facebook in chronological order. It's an amazing. It's so 1998.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And there's huge number of people here. It goes through the weekend. Anybody who's in L.A., come on down to Irvine. It's at the Hotel Irvine.
I'd love to do this. So yeah. A lot of, speaker manufacturers and receiver manufacturers, stuff like that?
Not so many receivers. It's speaker manufacturers, certainly. That's, I'd say, the most of what's here. But it's also other electronics, primarily two-channel preamps and power amps, either two-channel power amps or what are called monoblock power amps.
So they don't like receivers because the whole idea is to combine all that stuff into one unit.
Right, exactly. And, yeah. They want to keep it separate, which will give you, generally speaking, better performance.
Okay.
But it's also more expensive.
Well, and a lot of the home entertainment folks, we get AV receivers, the idea being we want to connect our TV and our various HDMI devices into one box and blah, blah,
yep.
blah.
Yep. Yeah.
But this
There's
is
very
like,
little in the way of HDMI here, that's for sure.
Yeah, this is more like Macintosh amps.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they still make amps, Macintosh?
Oh, yeah, sure, they sure do.
Wow.
I'm pretty sure they're here as well.
Tube amps still, or they've gone?
Oh, yeah.
Solid
oh, yeah,
state.
No. Tons of tube amps here, tons of them. It's a very popular thing among the two-channel crowd.
They Can you hear the difference?
Yes. Between tube amps and solid-state amps, yeah, that difference is relatively clear.
Oh, interesting.
Tube amps tend to emphasize what are called the even-order harmonics.
Oh, wow.
So the second harmonic, the fourth harmonic, the sixth harmonic. And that gives the sound a kind of a warmer quality to it. It's distortion. So those of us who prefer neutral, clean, accurate, we may not want tube amps. But a lot of people really swear by the sound. They love the sound, and so they go with their tube amps. Tube amps also have much less power, typically, than solid state. So you need very high-efficiency speakers in order to drive them to fairly loud levels, which some people do.
I have a friend who has a Macintosh tube amp and Klipsch horns.
Yep.
Which those clip speakers, and they're as big as a refrigerator practically.
Yep,
they're huge.
Yep.
But you know, I think we've lost something in giving up, and going for convenience with MP3s and portable players and earbuds, which are great, convenient, and your life is filled with music every step you take.
Yeah.
But we've given up, I think, that thing that was so great in the 60s, where you would sit and you would listen to an album.
Yep.
You might even close your eyes. You'd sit and listen to an album. You weren't walking anywhere. You weren't in the subway or the bus or the car. You were just listening.
And that's the whole point of this whole high-resolution audio movement, which is also very big here at the show. And also, I went to an event just before the show at Capitol Records. You know that big, tall building in Hollywood that looks like a stack of records?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Speaking of the 60s.
Yeah, they're celebrating their 60th anniversary this year.
Wow.
And we had a big event there. They had a big event there on high resolution audio. And, you know, they were emphasizing the point that high resolution audio tends to affect us more emotionally. It's a deeper experience.
Well, you know why they say that? Because you can't measure it in any way. So
you can measure dynamic range and frequency response and all that stuff, but then there's some silly aspects of it too. For example, high resolution audio in the car, which has a noise floor of what, 50
right.
60 dB, you're never going to hear the advantage of high res audio in a car. But if you're in your listening room at home and you've got a fairly quiet environment, you can sit there and close your eyes and have a much deeper emotional experience with the music than you can with MP3 and earbuds while you're walking around.
Okay.
So, and one of the interesting things at this show I wanted to mention is the not necessarily correlation between cost and quality. I've heard some systems like, for example, the Andrew Jones ELAC speakers are a couple hundred bucks, $300 a pair. They sound fantastic. Revel, a division of Harman, has just announced its latest entry-level speakers. And I love Revel speakers.
Are these the R-E-B-O-L, Rebel?
No. R-E-V as in Victor, E-L, Revel.
Revel as in revelry.
Yes, exactly.
But by the way, Rebel is also a high-end speaker maker, so that's very confusing. R-E-B-O-L.
That's right. It's kind of confusing, yeah. But these Rebels are $2,000 a pair. Not terribly cheap, but my God, I've heard $300,000 systems here at the show.
Wow.
That didn't sound, that $300,000 system I'm thinking of didn't sound as good as this $2,000 a pair Rebel speakers.
Is there a lot of vinyl there? A lot of turntables and old record players and...
Yep. Even a few open reel tape machines.
Please.
No, the best sound at the show, in my opinion, is a company called MBL out of Germany. And they make these omnidirectional speakers, all frequencies omnidirectional. So they have to be out in the room, placed kind of carefully. But they're using an open reel tape machine, and it sounds amazing.
Is it spinning really, really fast?
Yeah, it's 15 inches per second, IPS. Yeah. And it's highly modified. I mean, this tape deck itself is like $15,000 to $30,000.
Wow! Reel to reel though is analog recording, right?
I mean, it is.
Yeah, it's not digital.
That's right.
Is there? Would you sense say at this the home entertainment show, an anti-digital slant?
I don't think so, particularly not with high-resolution audio.
I mean, that's digital, right? Yeah.
Which is digital,
and most records, almost all records, are recorded digitally these days.
These days, yes. Capital Guy told us that they only abandoned analog tape for their masters less than 10 years ago.
Yeah, but they have abandoned it.
But they have now abandoned it. Yeah, it's all digital now.
Yeah. So even if you've got this warm tube amp and a turntable and vinyl, guess what? The record was recorded on a computer.
That's true. It's at the tube amp is adding something of its own.
Scott, you want to stick around because I have some questions to ask about big screen TV sets.
Sure.
I still haven't pulled the finger on pulled the trigger.
Uh-oh.
You could pull my finger, but
finger.
Completely different result. Pulled the trigger on an OLED TV, but I have questions. I know our audience does too. 8888 Ask Leo. We're still working on getting those phones working. We will. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. More to come right after this. Yeah, that's me right there. This should be my theme song. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Actually, that's the only really great use of home automation I've found is that when I walk in the door, my theme song starts playing. Wouldn't that be like Seinfeld? You just feel like you're home. Hey, Scott Wilkinson's still here. We're going to keep him around a little bit. We're working on the phone lines. We figured out what's wrong, or sort of. We know where it is wrong. And then people with screwdrivers and soldering irons are descending upon that point. So perhaps we will have it back up and running momentarily. But Scott has agreed to stick around, which is very nice of you. Thank you, Scott.
Happy to do it.
Scott's
happy
at the show, the home entertainment show, which is so it's open to the public.
It is. This is one of those shows that's open to the public. It's technically called The Show Newport. It used to be in Newport Beach. Now it's in Irvine at the Hotel Irvine on Jamboree, just off the 405 freeway. One-day pass is $15. So if you want to come down and hear some really nice sounds, this is the place to be. And it's pretty crowded out there today, but it's great.
Nice.
And going from room to room and being able to compare different systems, it's a rare opportunity, really. You don't often get that chance. Now, they're in hotel rooms, so you got to take it with a grain of salt because it's not the most ideal acoustic.
Yeah, but it's better than a show floor. It's better than an expo. I mean, at least you're in something that's kind of like a living room.
Yes, exactly so. Exactly.
I mean, that's probably why they do it that way.
Yeah, and some of these exhibitors have put up acoustic treatments and stuff and really gone to an extra length to try and make their system sound as good as possible. MBL, in fact, who I give the best sound of the show to that I've heard, they're in a somewhat larger room, kind of a half a ballroom, and they put up all kinds of acoustic treatments and stuff, and it's to good effect. They sound fabulous.
I was asking you about that British speaker company that I was thinking of getting some speakers from. They're very expensive, Bowers and Wilkins. They're not there.
Bowers and Wilkins. I don't think so. I'd have to go look at my show guide to see, but I haven't seen them. But they're fabulous speakers. They're great speakers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, to tell you the truth, I would look at Revel as well.
Boy, these Revels for a pair of $2,000. Now, I know that sounds expensive to people, but that's really not bad.
That's really not bad.
Do they do really also is. Subs and surrounds?
They do. Okay. Yeah, yeah. In fact, they are one of two exhibitors here that actually have a screen and a surround sound system set up.
Oh, interesting.
And they don't play much in the way of surround, but, you know, we could watch a little bit of Transformers or something else just to hear the surround. But their subs are very small, 10-inch drivers, which is relatively small. But, man, they plumbed the depths, I will tell you that.
Well, I always wanted to plumb the depths. plumb the depths. See, I'm thinking maybe, you know, I mean, really, let's be honest, except for a small band of hardy audiophiles. Most people, their stereo system now is their home entertainment system. It's their TV surround system.
Yeah, right? Yep, that's true.
But no reason that shouldn't also be a great music system.
That's correct.
Would you disable the surrounds? I mean, or would you...
You know, there are two schools of thought on that. Certainly the purists would disable the surrounds and only play the two channels from their main speakers, possibly with the subwoofers if the main speakers don't go down low enough. But then there are those who really enjoy taking two-channel sources like CDs or vinyl or something like that and expanding it out, which most AV receivers will do, expanding it out into the surround system. You know, some people like that. And there are some recordings that are multi-channel to begin with. And so playing those on a surround system really sounds great.
Huh.
Yeah, well, there's a guy here, Mark Waldrop. He was on my podcast.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Which
I like
did
Mark.
From here. He's very good.
I interviewed him as well, thanks to you.
Yes, I'm happy.
And
that
he's
you
really
did.
Kind of, what I like about Mark, he's kind of a no nonsense audio guy.
Precisely.
He says, no, you want good audio, but let's not go cuckoo over this stuff.
Right. There's an awful lot of voodoo in this business. You know, people with these funny little gizmos and so on that. And cable is another, you know, really weird thing here that you buy this $10,000 cable.
I'm not sure I believe all of that stuff.
I don't either. I sat in on a demo here we're going to try this cable and this cable, and we're also going to plug the amplifier into the speaker using basically a jumper, no cable at all. And what's the difference? Can you hear the difference? I couldn't hear the difference.
No.
I couldn't. Between that and an $1,800 speaker cable?
Here's the problem.
Or a zip cord?
There's a huge impact of what you believe you're going to hear on
exactly.
what you hear.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I guess it's an analog to the placebo effect in medicine.
Yes.
If you think
yes.
it's going to make you better, it will. And if you think it sounds better, it actually will.
There's also what's called expectation bias, that if it's $1,800 speaker
Must
cable, it
better.
Damn well better sound better.
I know, you're going to say it sounds better. I fall prey to that. But so tell me which Revel speakers I should look at, because they have it's Harman Kardon, which actually does great stuff. Or Harman.
Actually,
it's
Harman,
not Kardon anymore.
Did they
split up? Did they have a divorce, Harman and Kardon?
I think they just dropped that part of the name.
Okay.
Harman Kardon as a brand still exists. You can buy a Harman Kardon.
Is that the same
ABR.
Company as Harman?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. Harman International is the overarching company. And they have Lexicon. They have Mark Levinson. They have Revel. They have Infinity. They've got a bunch of really high-end, nice brands.
I could see why people just kind of throw their hands up in the air and say, whatever, just tell me what to get.
Yeah, exactly. Well, among the Revel speakers, the Concerta 2 is the new sort of entry-level line that they're featuring here, which, as I said, $2,000 for a pair of the flagship tower speakers.
Yeah.
The subwoofers, I think, are $1,500 a piece. I'd have to go look
and see. So you'd want to get a subwoofer, wouldn't you?
Well, I would.
Yeah.
I would. The main towers, I don't think, can really go down to 20 hertz, which is ultimately where you want to go.
You want to vibrate the floor.
Whereas you and I can't hear anywhere near 20 kilohertz.
We can hear 20 hertz, though.
We can
we
hear
it.
20 hertz.
You know,
yes,
if you
exactly.
hear it, you feel it.
Exactly.
All right. Let's take a break. Stick around, will you? Scott Wilkinson's here. He is part of the, or is visiting the home entertainment show, the show in Irvine. Do they have these all over the country, or is it just this?
It's a couple places, yeah.
Okay.
That's often held in conjunction with CES and a couple times a year.
Okay. All right. We'll have more in just a second, and we're still working on the phones. And what do you think, John? You think the prognosis is good? No. We may have to fall back on Skype. Who knows?
Dag nabbit.
Scott Wilkinson, it's really great to have you. You can hear more of Scott every week on the Home Theater Geeks podcast. You'll find that at twit.tv/HTG. Read his writings, and I'm sure you'll have some articles from the show.
I will, absolutely.
At the AVS Forum. That's avsforum.com, where he's editor-in-chief. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate you spending some extra time with us today.
Happy to.
All right, we're going to take a break. News, local news at the top of the hour. We're going to work our little soldering irons off. Fix those bits. See if we get the phone system running. If we can, we'll take calls right after this. Stay here. More Tech Guy in just a bit. I'm more with Scott Wilkinson. But first, a word from our sponsor, Epson, and those amazing Epson EcoTank printers. I have one at home. Actually, Lisa scooped me. I've had Epson printers my whole life. And I most recently got the Workforce Pro that we've been talking about, the Precision Core engine. I love this. 40 million picoliter drops per second. 40 million per second. It means it's fast, but it also means it gives you super crisp black and white printing, vivid color printing, all of the power of an inkjet printer, which means auto, two-sided. I did that the other day. I had to print my my daughter wanted me to print out some scientific papers for her to research while she was on the plane. She was flying to Mexico. And I two-sided print them. It saved me. It cut the paper in half. It was awesome, and they look great. 30-page auto document feeder. They're great all-in-ones. And now, I love this, they come with 2 years of ink in the box, like this, the EcoTank 4550. This is one Lisa got. It's a wireless all-in-one printer. All the features I mentioned, including that great Precision Core engine, but it doesn't use ink cartridges. It features an innovative refillable ink tank. See there on the right? That's it. It got the CES 2016 Innovation Award, and rightly so, because Epson's doing what customers want. They're eliminating the cartridge, and they're meaning it means you don't have to run to the store halfway through a print job. And when you do need new ink in a couple of years, you buy it in these very economical bottles, or if you got the big one, in the ink packs. I set up Lisa's printer. It was easy as pie. You get the ink bottles in the box, so it's ready to go. You just fill them up. Couldn't be simpler. No fuss, no muss, very quick, and boom, you're done. You've got the equivalent of 50 ink cartridges in there. 11,000 black pages, 8,500 color pages on the 4550. And if you need a workhorse in your work group, they even have this one. Oh, man. This is heavy-duty, high-volume business printing, the WFR4640. That's got 20,000 pages of ink in the box. Epson just put out their Creative Print app for those of you at home, making it easier to preserve Instagram and Facebook photos. You download the app, you create personalized photo collages, custom greeting cards, stationery, coloring book templates, print them right to the printer. This is actually great. If you've been buying those adult coloring books, you know, that's a kind of a thing now. You can make your own. They look great. Or for the kids. You can also print photos right onto CDs and DVDs if you're making those. I did that for a 50th anniversary the other day. It was beautiful. Be creative on the go. Print from your mobile device to a variety of compatible Epson all-in-one printers right within your own wireless network. Epson.com/EcoTank. Learn more. Transform the way your home, office, or work group prints. For the best combination of ease and value, turn to the new Epson EcoTank printers. That's E-P-S-O-N. Epson.com/EcoTank. We thank them so much for their support of the Tech Guy podcast. Epson, exceed your vision. Scott, I'm going to let you have the floor, if you like.
I'm happy to. Thank you very much.
And I shall wander.
As soon as this interstitial is done, though, I have to at least go check out of the hotel.
No. We won't. In fact, you can do it now if you wish.
No. I'm sure they'll give me a few minutes leeway.
All right, yes.
That's fine.
I was on KFI, please.
Yes.
They'll understand.
Exactly.
I'll put the clock up so you can see it.
Ah, thank you very much. Okay. Hey, everybody. So happy to be here from Irvine. I actually packed up my whole podcast studio and brought it down here.
You sound great and you look great. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, my pleasure.
I didn't realize you did that. That's great.
Yep. I brought all my lights and my camera, a different microphone, because I actually, for the podcast, I had two microphones. I had guests coming in, and I had to use a separate mic mixer because Skype only takes channel one of any USB audio interface. Very weird. Very strange. Anyway, yeah, happy to talk to everybody. Beatmaster reminds me that Harman also owns Studer, another brand with a long history of excellence. That's true, mostly in the pro world. But, you know, audiophiles, they made still make reel-to-reel tape recorders and stuff like that. So, there are some audiophiles that continue to use tape, as we know from the MBL room. Rusty Bones would like to hear a conversation between me and Mark Henninger about his aluminum foil homemade speaker cables. Actually, I think we did talk about that. One of the shows he was on, I forget which one exactly, but it was shortly after that article came out where he compared some monster speaker cables he took two rolls of aluminum foil and he unrolled them and he crinkled them up into cables, sort of. And two of them, one for the positive, one for the negative. And he compared them. He put some connectors on the end of them somehow. I forget how. And compared them. And there wasn't very much difference. He did some measurements, too. And there was some impedance differences. But it wasn't to the point where it made a huge difference in the sound. So that was pretty amazing. I can't remember which episode it was. But if you go back and find one of the ones with Mark, I'm sure you'll be able to find it. Mike Heiss also reminds me that Harman has Synthesis, JBL. JBL is the brand I should have mentioned. That's a very well-known brand. And JBL Synthesis is their sort of high-end brand. It's part of a group within Harman called the Harman Luxury Audio Group. And that's Revel, Mark Levinson, JBL Synthesis, Lexicon. And so, yeah, and that's the high-end stuff. And some of it's very expensive. In fact, the K2, which I heard in a different room, is $50,000 a pair. Now, it's a remarkable speaker. It's really amazing. But it's $50,000 a pair. As opposed to these Revel Concerta 2s, the F36 towers for $2,000 a pair, with one subwoofer or a pair, that's another. They're $1,500 a piece, so two of them be $3,000. You're into it for $5,000. You know, that's a tenth of what the K2s sell for, and you're easily getting probably 80% of the K2 performance for a tenth the price. That's pretty darn good. My tall is 42. You have a question for me? I've got a few seconds left. I don't see the clock, but if you do, type it into the chat room. Key 43, these headphones are my Heil Pro Set 3 headphones that I normally use. Hey, Tech William, how you doing? Rev Dano Metal. Dyslexics never... I don't quite get that. What's a good inexpensive turntable? I'm not a big turntable guy, so I don't really know. Go to analogplanet.com is my source for turntable stuff. Michael Fremmer is the editor there. He's here at the show. But he is Mr. Turntable for sure, big time. So if you want to learn about turntables, analogplanet.com, that's where to go for that. He's been on my show a couple times, too, and we talked about inexpensive turntables. So if you look for Home Theater Geeks with Michael Fremmer, he's been on two or three times. So you should be able to find something about that as well. Lawn Dog, I didn't see any Infinity speakers. Harman does not have Infinity here. They've got JBL, Revel, I forget who. Oh, Synthesis as well. Key 43, can't find the address. You mean of the hotel? It's on Jamboree in Irvine. Hotel Irvine. Just Google that and you should easily be able to find it. Beatmaster, only thing I'm ready to pay extra for are decent connectors on a cable. That's a good point. You know, the cable itself, I don't think makes that much difference. But if the connector, the termination, is very important. And if that's not done properly, you can have real problems. So, absolutely. Let's see. Who else can I talk to? Tech William is staying cool. Glad to hear that. I am, too. I haven't left this hotel in 3 days. We're in a heat wave here in Southern California. Dr. Mom saw that the Ion turntable has been discontinued. Anyone else making a turntable with USB capability? Yes, there are several, I'm sure. I know. I don't know any brands specifically, but there certainly are some, and that's important if you want to digitize your vinyl collection.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and even though the phones are down and the show is truncated, I can't get rid of this guy. He just wants to be on. I don't know.
I won't be put down.
No, thank you, Dick, for giving us a little value add on the Tech Guy podcast.
I was running down to see Hamilton at the matinee, and Jamma B called, and I was next in line to go in the theater. And I said, just give me 20 minutes. I'll go back home.
If I didn't think you were joking, I would be very, very mad at you. We were talking before. Yeah. I didn't know
even
this.
Even for you.
Lin-Manuel Miranda, the star of Hamilton, which is the show of the century on Broadway, and by the way, I saw that tickets are now $10,000 if you scalp them to go see this show. Is a fan of yours. He tweeted, "I love Dick DiBartolo."
Yes, yes. Out of the blue. I had never met him. I just knew him from his work and the 60 Minutes piece. And it was the editor of Mad, John Ficarra, who came running in and said, "Oh, can you, Lin-Manuel just tweeted about you." And I said, "John, why would he do that?" He said, "I don't know either, but he tweeted, as long as Dick DiBartolo is writing for Mad, things will be good, incisive and witty." And I emailed him right back saying, "Lin, you made my day, my week, my year." And he tweeted back, "Dick, you made my childhood."
Wow. Wow.
There you go.
Hey, I if you don't get to see Hamilton, at least you can see him in Mary Poppins.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Or when he comes to visit me.
Didn't you offer him a tour of Mad?
He said, "Dick, I'd love to come up to Mad." He said, I just have a million things going, but...
Yeah, he's kind of busy right now.
He said, "At one point, I want to go up and see Mad." So,
well, I hope you get to meet him. And if you do, please just kiss him on the lips for me.
Okay, I will. I will. That'll be the 15th person I'm kissing him on the lips.
You're going to be making out with the guy.
Yeah.
So Dick every week joins us on the show to show off some clever or creative or junky gadget.
This time, Leo, I love this little gadget. So I do all my videos for the Giz Whiz and personal videos on a Galaxy S6. Which you happen to think has one of the best cameras
smartphones. Yes.
Right. The sad thing about the S6 is there's no memory card slot.
Right. Now, this is the old one. The S7 has superseded it. It does have a memory card slot.
It does, right.
But last year's model did not, and that was a disappointment.
I know, but also, didn't you say you thought the camera on the 6 was superior to the camera on the 7?
No. Vice versa.
Oh, you didn't?
But the 6 was spectacularly good, as good as an iPhone, better, and I loved it. If the battery life had been better on the 6, I would have been, that would have been my phone of choice. This Galaxy S7 is my phone of choice. These are good.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I have a 200 meg SD card, micro SD card.
Oh, my. Okay, well, so I'm still using the 6, and like at CES or something, where you're shooting a lot of videos, I forgot how much memory I had.
Yeah, you run out.
And then I would go to the press room and delete some videos I didn't need. So anyway, this is new from SanDisk, and it is the Ultra Dual USB 3.0 drive, which is this tiny.
Look at it.
And so you push the little lever in one direction, and it's the micro USB that goes into your phone. Shows up on your phone instantly additional drive.
Oh, that's so cool. So could you record to this?
I don't think you can record to it.
Oh.
But then when you get back to the computer, push it in the other direction and you have a standard USB 3.0.
So you can put it in your computer or your phone.
Yeah. Leo, the prices are ridiculous. This one is 32 gigabytes.
Yeah.
$9.97.
Really, it's remarkable, isn't it?
The 64 gigabyte version is $17 and change.
Wow. Well, I only buy memory cards now, Samsung Evo SD cards now. The prices are so good and the quality is excellent.
Is unbelievable. Yeah. And a tip if you're using, oh, and by the way, you know you need OTG on your Android phone, and at the SanDisk website, they tell every phone that has OTG.
And of course, all the Samsung phones do.
All the Samsungs have it. Yeah. And the one thing is, I downloaded it. It said on the SanDisk thing, it said, go to our website, download our software, which I did. I pulled out everything I wanted to send to this little drive, which was plugged in. And I said, copy. And it said, please insert the drive. And I said, no, the drive's inserted. Anyway, I had a second drive, so I tried that one. Same error. So I called tech support at SanDisk, and they said, oh, you know what? No, don't use the app.
Oh, sorry we made that app.
Yes, yes. Just plug it in and drag and drop files. That'll be a lot easier for you.
Yeah.
So I assume it works on some phones, but not.
Your problem was you used our app.
That's your problem, yeah. Well, now who told you to do that?
That's an example of two different branches in the company with conflicting goals.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, no, I this would be, you know what would be useful for me is I'm always putting a new phone on online, and it'd be really nice to be able to copy files over and stuff like that. My Audible books, for instance, I usually have many gigabytes of Audible books. I can just copy them over. That'd be great.
And they run, I'm sure they get way more expensive. They run up to, I believe, 128 gigabytes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe I wonder what the 200, let me just see. SDXC 200 megs. They really are cheap. Yeah, I got a Samsung, I think, Pro EVO, which they're very nice. Let's see, 64 gigs is $59. So the prices have really tumbled on SD memory.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to find the price on my 200 meg card. But that's amazing, right? And that's one of the reasons I'm glad they brought back the SD card, because it's just nice to have that capacity. But you have a phone that doesn't have extra storage, this is a great solution.
This little guy, as I said, it's on Amazon, and it is the SanDisk Ultra Dual USB Drive 3.0, and it's at gizwiz.biz under The Tech Guy.
The Tech Guy. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Dickie D is at gizwiz. Now that we're not on the radio, I feel free to sing.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Dickie D is at gizwiz.biz. That is his website, and it's a great place to play the What the Heck? What the Heck Is It contest. I want to pull it up because I want to see what the picture is.
Okay, very good.
Often we don't have enough time on the radio show.
I totally understand.
There, if you go to his website, you'll see the Gizwiz Visits the Tech Guy. That's where all the stuff like the SanDisk dual drive is, you know, find the details there. Oh, here it is too. The Ultra Dual USB Drive 3.0. But then scroll down to What the Heck Is It? Okay. Mm-hmm. It's I think it's a troll doll comb. A USB comb for troll dolls.
Not bad.
Yeah. Or it's a satellite dish and Mothra took a big bite out of it.
You see, you'd be dynamite at this game.
What could that be? Do you know? There's 10 or 12 autographed Mad magazines for the right answer, twice as many for the best wrong. Is that? Now, there's two rows of teeth. That could be relevant. But what is this thing? It looks like a USB. That's really odd. And last week, it was, last month, rather, it was, nobody uses the Twist and Mist Misty Mate.
Yeah, you screw it on the end of a hose, and then it has a mic.
This.
This is neat, Leo. It has a little micro filter at the end
and
that creates...
You.
Yes, yeah. And you put it all behind a chair or something, and you keep very cool.
Resorts, I've seen these at resorts, like in Vegas and stuff, where it's really hot. They'll have it out by the pool.
Yep, and they even make one for beach umbrellas that has like five or six different little misters.
So if it's, if it's too nice a day, you can miss the whole family. I ain't missing you at all. All right, this is good. So go play the What the Heck Is It contest. The yellow makes me think it may be some sort of cheese grater device. Or maybe it's just for putting scratch marks in your back in case you don't have a wife. I don't know. I'm just thinking.
It's from the S&M catalog. That's a hint.
If you don't have a girlfriend, but you want people to think you do, and you're having wild monkey sex, you just scratch your back with this, right?
There you go. Perfect.
Again, not being on the radio, not a good thing for me. Because I lose my sensor. Thank you for doing this. You want to be here a little later on for the Giz Fizz right after the new screensavers?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I will be there.
It's not too late to see the second half of the show. It's run out.
Oh, okay. I will be there.
Spoiler alert, it has an unhappy ending. Okay. I don't want to spoil it for you, but just be prepared. Oh, bring your hanky.
What?
Yeah, he ends up in Mary Poppins.
I thought you were talking about the screensavers, and
no,
I was going to say
no. The screensavers does not have
the screensavers has an unhappy ending.
Yes, and someday it will. Leo will keel over, and that'll be the end.
Nah, that's months away.
Thanks, Dickie.
You're going to live to be 100. Okay, take
100.
Care.
Okay, all right. Take care from your mouth.
Okay, bye.
To Lin-Manuel Miranda's mouth.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
I'll talk to you. Bye.
Let's see. I think now it's time to go home. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. I apologize for the truncated version. Apparently the network data center that provides the data for Telepacific, which is our phone provider, is down. I know this because Russell, our IT guy, says, but another customer uses that data center, and he's down, not with his phones, but just his data. So that's why we decided not to try to continue to do the show, because, frankly, you don't want to hear me talk for 3 hours. I'm punchy already. It's only been an hour and 15. So we'll be back tomorrow. I'm hoping, if all goes well, data center will be back up, and we'll be back with a full Tech Guy podcast tomorrow. Thanks for joining me. See you later. Bye-bye. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security and security now. I mean, I can go on and on. And on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guys show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.